Morning, everybody. Bear with me. Let's see if this screen share works, and we will hopefully have PowerPoint. Paul, I need you to enable screen sharing, please. Okay, well, I'll keep trying to share the screen as we go. But today we come to the end of a long journey we've been taking with Paul, a journey through his second letter to the Corinthians. It's a letter that's written out of love, but it delivers a strong message, a warning to the church in Corinth. Here we go with the PowerPoint, I hope. Hopefully, you can all see that. So where was I? Yes, so it's a letter written out of love to the church in Corinth. There's a picture there of Corinth itself, and it's a letter which delivers a strong message, a warning to the church in Corinth to get back with the program, to turn back to the ways of the true gospel that Paul brought to them. It's a letter which sees Paul having to defend his character, his actions, his ministry, and his authority. Why? Well, as we've seen through the series, the church in Corinth was subject to the influence of false apostles, false teachers, so-called super apostles, who speak with an air and an eloquence that Paul can't quite match. False apostles who challenge Paul's integrity, his honesty. And they undermine the message that Paul has brought to them. As we've seen throughout the series, Paul isn't a trained speaker, but he is an educated man, a servant of Christ, and convinced of the gospel message. He accepts the knowledge as he, like everyone else, isn't perfect. He has his flaws, and he has done things that he isn't proud of. But through Christ, he's changed. He's a new man devoted to one cause, showing people the path to salvation through Christ. 2 weeks ago, Richard spoke to us on chapter 12, where Paul was expressing deep concern for the Corinthians. He states clearly he's not interested in exploiting them as the false apostles would have them believe. No, he says in 12:14, I don't want what you have. I want you. You might recall from the start of our series, Corinth, being a key commercial hub in the area, was also a center of immorality, and many of the Corinthians had not turned from their old ways. Paul was genuinely concerned for the church in Corinth. He wanted them to turn away from the ways of the world and stand apart from the sin and corruption. He wrote, "Perhaps you think we're saying these things just to defend ourselves. No, we tell you this as Christ's servants, with God as our witness. Everything we do, dear friends, is to strengthen you. For I am afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find, and you won't like my response. I'm afraid that I will find quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorderly behavior. Yes, I am afraid that when I come again, God will humble me in your presence, and I will be grieved because many of you have not given up your old sins. For I'm afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find, and you won't like my response." This morning, we're looking at 2 Corinthians 13. So let's take a look at what Paul has to say as he draws his letter to a close. Our passage gives Paul's final advice, his final warnings to the Corinthians in advance of his upcoming third visit to Corinth. He continues on from chapter 12, telling the Corinthians in verses 1 to 4 to be ready and prepared for his visit. He reminds them of the warning he gave them during his second visit to Corinth. Paul's message is clear: be ready. When he returns, Paul says he will return with the full authority of God to deal with those who have not turned away from their sin and those who have turned a blind eye to the sins of others. The Corinthians have repeatedly sought proof from Paul that Christ speaks through him. Paul admits that he himself is weak, but none of that weakness will be present when he speaks with the strength and authority of Christ in him, unless they change their ways. Paul sees rebellion against what he is taught as rebellion against Christ himself, who appointed Paul as his apostle. They will see the strength of Christ in the word and actions of Paul as he deals with this rebellion. As I was writing this, I was reminded of the hymn, "In Christ Alone." In Christ alone who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness scorned by the ones he came to serve, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Christ entered the world weak as a little baby, reliant on others to care for him. He walked the earth, experiencing life and all its challenges just as we do. He died in weakness as he was crucified on the cross for us, but he also showed his strength as he bore the burden of all our sins. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. He rose again in strength, in power, to stand in victory. And it's in that strength through his spirit in which Paul is planning to return to Corinth. So Paul tells them, be ready. And the next point he brings is, be sure you are saved. He says to them as we read on into verses 5-7, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Let me ask you a question. How many of you like going to the dentist? I know I don't. Never have, never will, really. And I was probably one of the last to actually visit my dentist on Castle Road last Monday before they had to close as a result of this coronavirus. It's one of those things that we have to do. We need to get our mouths examined, tested, to make sure that all is as it should be. Just like we need physical checkups at the dentist, the doctor, the optician, and so on, we also need spiritual checkups. Socrates once said, "The examined life is not worth living." That's what Paul is talking about here. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. He's sick of people examining him, incorrectly calling him a fraud, and he turns and tells them to take a good, long, hard look at themselves, at their own state of affairs, before he arrives. Essentially, he's telling them to take the plank out of their own eyes before looking at the speck in his, to apply the same tests to themselves that they're applying to him. And he starts with the most fundamental of questions. Are you in the faith? Are you a follower of Jesus? Examine yourselves. Do you live for him day by day? Be sure you're saved. His hope is that by the time he arrives in Corinth, the early believers will have realized for themselves that they're not living the lives they should be. His hope is that they will change their lives before he gets there, before he has to bring order and discipline into their lives as members of the early church. He hopes that in examining themselves, they'll see how weak they are, how weak we all are, and turn to the strength they have in Christ. None of us are perfect. We all have our own individual faults and failings. So be ready and be sure you are saved. Then be obedient to God's word. In his word, we find our strength. Paul was a pioneer. He established the church plant in Corinth and had drawn in these first early believers into the church. So he wasn't writing to them as an angry dictator coming to exact his fury upon them. No, he was coming as a loving and perhaps frustrated parent, seeking to discipline his children to ensure that they were on the right path. In verses 8 to 10, Paul states that he will always stand for the truth as a faithful believer. But that beyond standing for the truth, he isn't hugely concerned how this comes across. His concern is seeing his children and seeing those new believers and seeing people like us grow into well-grounded followers of Christ. He wants them to be obedient to God's word. He prays that they will become mature believers. He writes in hope that he will not have to deal with them too severely when he does get there. Like all decent parents, Paul doesn't want to come down on them like a ton of bricks. He doesn't want to be harsh with them or tear them down. Instead, he wants to build them up. He wants to nurture, encourage, and strengthen them in their obedience to the word and the spiritual growth that that will bring. So be sure, be ready, be sure you're saved, and be obedient to God's word. Finally, be mature in your faith. In verse 11, Paul starts bringing his letter to a close with the words, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. All qualities of a mature Christian and a faithful follower of Christ. He continues, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Now, I can't condone greeting each other with a holy kiss in the current climate, but what I will encourage you to do is to think of one another, to pray for one another, and to stay in touch with one another through this virus that is spreading through our land. As Richard mentioned, some home groups have successfully trialed video conferencing through Skype or through Zoom, just as we are this morning. Some are using WhatsApp to stay in touch, and others just have a simple telephone chain going. Whatever works for you as a group, keep it up. Keep it going. If you want to be in a group, then let me know. We'll do our best to sort this out. We're all in this together, even though we're apart. As a staff team, we're still meeting virtually each day to pray. Be assured you're all very much in our prayers. As I draw to a close, why not use this time that you have, the weeks ahead, while life at the moment is very different, to test yourself, to examine yourself. Look into your own hearts and see what Christ wants to show you, what he wants to teach you in these difficult and challenging times. Let him speak to you, to comfort you, to strengthen you in a time when we all feel weak and out of touch. Returning to the song that I quoted earlier, "In Christ alone, our hope is found. He is our light, our strength, our song." In Christ alone, our hope is found now more than ever. So be ready. Be sure you are saved. Be obedient to God's word. And be mature in your faith. As Paul ends his letter, so I end this talk and hand back to Richard with the words of the grace. "May the grace and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all and with all those you love in this time of trial. Amen."